Hello, everybody. This is Scott Patton, the Dean of Blogonomics and Podology. Glad to have you join us today. And we've got a very, very special guest. His name is Mike Rotkin, the SEO champion. Hey, Mike, how are you doing?
Hey, I'm doing great, Scott. How are you today?
Awesome, awesome. Mike is an expert on SEO. He's been doing it for quite a few years now, and I was just delighted I was able to corral him to talk about search engine optimizing. And I think, Mike, we should just, you know, really just get right into it. And there's a few topics that we really want to make sure that we cover today, one of which is, you know, what do you do on your page to make sure that your page itself is what the search engines want, which, of course, would mean that they would end up ranking higher over time, and also how are ways that we can make the pages that we do so that they just organically rank high in the search engines. And of course, when we're talking about SEO, search engine optimizing, that's different than pay-per-click or PPC, which is where you go to Google or Yahoo and you sign up for their AdWords program, and then you actually pay for ads to show up on search results, which of course sometimes people click on, and when they click on, you get charged. So, Mike, let's just start with, you know, what can we do on our pages, on our own web pages, to help with our search engine rankings?
That's a great question, Scott, and I'll take it back to the basics on there. I would say the first thing you want to do is, let me just put this out there, is a lot of coders, I know in the back of their heads, they want to create a great flash page, a great flash site, and they want to make it new, high tech, and look cool. Believe me, I've always done it, and I've always been out talked by my lead coders, which I told them never to do flash. If you have an older, let me just throw this out there. If you have an older site, let's say you're starting with an old site, I'll kind of break it down into a couple groups because there's a couple different additives you want to do. But an older site, you can get away with a tiny bit of flash. I would do only 10% of the website in flash. A brand new website, don't do in flash. You know, just strictly build it in a blog. If you have an old existing website that is kind of just, you're getting some good traffic to, you can do it in, and then I'll kind of jump back into just, you know, straight brand new basics. If you have an old website, you can break it down into two groups. You can, let's say you just have an old, stale, stagnant page, you know, with a few tabs and such. You can 301 that to, like, let's say a new blog, or you can keep that current traffic, just add a blog, and then just, you know, make sure you're blogging every day. But, you know, on the basics, for, let's just say if you have a brand new, you know, brand new domain, brand new website, first make sure, you know, that you're dedicated to the industry and you renew it for at least 3 to 5 years or more. Definitely don't do it in flash. And yes, with the meta tags, the title, the description. See, a lot of people, and it's funny because, you know, I know people will change it after. I've seen a lot of quote-unquote SEO experts that completely mess up the title. And, you know, it's funny.
Me too.
Nobody's ever. You have?
Yeah. Happens all the time.
It does. You know those big blockades, I call them blockades, these big bars in between these phrases that these big companies are using these days? Those block the spiders. I mean, I'm confident what I've been told and what I've seen in the formula that is not recognized as a proper, you know, as a proper letter. So that the first thing to do is write a title as like a fragmented sentence. I've always said that. And then now descriptions were always supposed to be, you know, under 8 words. I believe, and since we're in a recession too, and Google is looking at this, it's more long tails. Like the other day I typed in probably 8 words to find what I was looking for at one time. So you want to, your description almost needs to be about a sentence and a half. So we're starting from steps zero through however many.
Mm-hmm.
So the first step would be definitely don't use flash. Put something attractive, a call of action type logo on there. Start with the title. Come up with the title. Make sure that your two main keywords that you want to target. So if it's for me and I want to get, you know, agency or SEO firm or SEO agency, let's say, whatever city I'm in, because I have Las Vegas SEO and Las Vegas SEO agency, I'm number one on those. But whatever city I'm in, I can tailor to that. So you want to make sure your main artery keywords are in your title. Then second, the description, moving down to there, you want to make sure two or three are in there. Now, there's people along the years that have, you know, done caps, like let's say SEO firm, capital S and then lowercase EO in the title, and then where the description, they'll just do lowercase SEO. So the formula on the algorithm still reads upper and lower case sometimes, depending on how strong your site is. So I'd write it in a way of just getting both the up and down, you know, where you're not just limiting yourself if somebody just writes the, you know, S, capital S, and then EO, and then capital F, and then IRM, where somebody just does all lowercase SEO firm.
So, you know, yeah, so the capitalization, does that make a difference?
Because you're going to get it's going to match up the capitalizations directly when somebody types it in that's capital. Because, you know, maybe a CEO that's heard about it, you know, he possibly could go in there and type in caps, or, you know, there's a lot of people that come from very, you know, highly, you know, families that, like, just give respect a lot, you know, sir this, sir that, sir this, sir that, and they use a lot of caps, too.
Okay, so that's something to keep in mind.
Yeah, definitely. And I was told that by my mentor that I wrote down that used to work with on Google's back-end algorithm, you know, that taught me on that. He was the one who first told me. You know, he said that's one way to really switch it up. And so then keywords. If you have a strong website, again, your website's 4 or 5 years old, you've been up for a little while, you could probably get away with about 15 to 19 keywords. You know, 20 is okay. If you're a new website, kind of keep it. I would really keep it, you know, people, you know, here's the bottom line. The studies have shown, here's the stats, and I'm just going to take OkCupid.com as an example. OkCupid.com is a perfect example. If you look at their view source, I haven't looked at it lately, but I looked at it for 3 weeks ago. I imagine they haven't changed it because that would be stupid, but they are only selecting 3 to 5 keywords. And those 3 to 5 keywords are typed in over 2 million times every month in Google. So they have those keywords, and they're number one. So I would advise that you pick the strongest keywords in your industry and just stick to about 5. And on my sites, you know, I've went to 15, 20, 25. I'm not an example on that because I have 8 sites, and I'm not following that. I'm doing different tests. But just starting from the basics, I would pick 5 to 7 keywords tops. And because the thing is, the more keywords you pick, the problem is you're going to get the keywords that are least desired, that were least picked by other websites in your industry, and that's a fact. And then moving on to the body text. The body text, you want to make sure you got some good meat, you know, write it like a really good welcome, you know, make people feel welcome at the same time, give them their information immediately. I see this time and time again where if let's say I'm attracting an SEO, you know, I want the word SEO firm. I've seen it time and time again where companies, you know, let's just not even use me as an example. Let's just say they're selling remote control cars, right?
Yeah.
So they'll say, you know, welcome to John's Cars. We specialize in discount, this, that, and this, and that. And then the third line has the word remote control cars. The spiders are not going to read all the way down past about 12 to 14 words by nature within the first year of just literally scanning your site. You know, let's use different tactics and methods. So you want to make sure that your keywords are closest to the left to the right because spiders read from left to right. So the same keywords are in your title, your description, and your keywords should be in your body text in different types of formats. I personally avoid commas, even though commas is part of the nature of writing. I use dashes when I need to, and I might throw 1 or 2 commas because a comma is looked at as a letter within the algorithm formula. And you know what? I've been to so many sessions, and I've never even heard. I'm surprised the way I'm speaking because this is the true formula I'm talking about, you know, from the ground up, and nobody's ever said it this way. That's the way it is. A comma is looked at from the search engine as a letter. You know, because they'll even take quotes. Like I look at my stats, and you'll see quotes and stuff. And also, now the next thing I would do would be put a translator on your page, and translate it into multiple languages. I just put a very impressive. I'm really happy. I put in a very impressive website, a client of mine, humangeneticsdisorders.com, and there's we now have 2,000 different SEO keywords. And I was looking, I said, how the heck did we get that? Well, guess what? About 400 of them are in different languages. I'm looking at
wow.
those, and I see Hebrew, I see, you know, Lebanese. I mean, forgive me if I get the languages and the cultures wrong, but, you know, these were Russian, you know, words, all different types of words. French, it was unbelievable. Asian, Japanese, yeah, definitely. You know, Chinese, Japanese. And so the thing is, too, is you want to get a software that's gonna get all that information. Of what you want to do is you want to click on the translator after, translate the page, and then you want to get that information out to the search engine.
Right, so, right. That's a great tip, because all that is a little bit of code, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not like you have to go and actually get somebody to translate it or do it all. It's something that can almost happen automatically.
Yeah, exactly. And you can find it as a plug-in in WordPress. That's exactly what I did. And I'm still sticking with WordPress. You know, Matt Cutt said that a long time ago, and that formula, it's a formula within a formula, so to me it makes sense, and I know why he said it, because when he says certain things, he doesn't explain why. You know, Matt Cutts is very smart. He has, I believe, a PhD in computer engineering, which is extremely difficult. And, you know, and just engineers alone, you know, like in my graduating class at Hotel, you know, engineers, there was only about 10 engineers that graduated a year. And it's just, I admire, you know, people that go that route.
So, you know, I don't want to go on too much of a tangent, but can you tell our listeners and myself who Matt's is?
Yeah, Matt Cutts, he's the director of Google, and his official title is the director of web spam and web compliance. And all what that means is pretty much don't come in Google's system and try to hack their system and try to figure out new ways against the original formula of the formula I just spoke, because he will find out and he will shut you down. Like, I believe BMW was buying Inlinks 3 years ago. Matter of fact, I don't believe he said that. Matt Cutts said BMW was buying Inlinks last summer at SES, and he said that they docked their PageRank. So, you know, Matt Cutts is a very powerful guy, and reading his blog is great. Because what they say they do, and you know that used to be the case a lot days before, but he has some very good information. And when I say he's the director of web spam, that means he's in charge of adding these new components, these new plugins, these translators, all this new stuff, and figuring out everything on how to combat black hat tricks. You know, people that
wonderful,
yeah.
So what you're basically saying is this is a person who's at Google. He's an expert on what Google wants, because one of the things that I think when it comes to search engine optimizing that people don't get is it's almost like they're at war with the search engines. Well, I figured out that if I do this and this and this, I'll be able to get my spammy type site up to the top of the search engines. And of course, what the search engines want is they want really good content that we can easily understand, that this is for people that are searching for this topic, whatever it may be, right?
Yeah,
So if you can put out good content that makes the individuals, the human beings that go to your site like what is on your site and come back for more, then Google wants to have that as the results that show up higher in their search engines. And one of the reasons that Google, in my opinion, has been so popular was before, when there was Alta Vista and Yahoo's been around a long time, and these other search engines, they didn't give good results. And what Google did is they said, look, we want to give the best results that we can, the most relevant results that we can. And of course, they've had some challenges with spamming and all that, just like everybody else has. But because they've been able to do such a good job of it, everybody uses them. And there are countries where they're like 80% use Google for searches, right? So on an international basis, it's very, very powerful. And I think that's really important when you're doing this is you want to make sure that the content that you've got is really, really good, and then you can tweak the content to make sure that the keywords that you want to target are prominent.
Exactly. And a lot of people suggest SEO tools out there for everybody that's been thinking of SEO tools. I say don't jump in too deep. Just really focus, like Scott was saying, that you brought up a good point, is the human interaction with it is, and I'll bring up just kind of a layman's example, of what we use as a term is just not too technical here in the United States. I don't know if it's used abroad, but the bottom line is it goes back to Matt Cutts wants people that are doing their websites not to have somebody fake and false and a robot working in their stores. Because, see, the internet used to be looked at as just like a whole complete, malls and store and land and everything. And when you fake like you're going to open your store and then use these bots and all these spam techniques to artificially inseminate content into your website, that's when it becomes spam, and that's when you get alert. So going back to the basics is that's where me and Scott started on the basics, and I kind of went into that. That is the route to go. That's the only route to go. There's people out there, and I want to throw this out because it's very important. It's not talked about. A lot of newbies that own websites, they're on email list. And there's a lot of emailers, they don't care about anybody out there. They just care about the bottom line and did you convert their leads. So, they're going to try to sell you end links. They're going to try to sell you a lot of different things. Search Engine Journal talks about buying end links. And now the new thing is buying ad text. And, all that's fine and dandy. But just be very careful of who you do business with, because here's one. The one thing is Google knows who's selling links. That's the bottom line. They know who's selling links, and that's like just creating. I don't see where there's nothing wrong with it if it's within your industry. Me personally, but it's not right for the search engines. The way they look at it is maybe if a website. Here's the thing. If a website is blatant and just comes out and says buy in links, buy 5,000 in links from our directories, which I've had people approach me on. And we'll do that. Well, they've sent that to everybody, and yet Google's got aware of that. Those emails. Google has already been hit, and we're going on probably the third year now of Google Lite. They lit up the adult industry with people buying, creating link farms. That's another thing to stay away from. And then I'll go into how to do it properly. Is just if you want to build 20 websites, 30 websites, 40, 50, 60. I do that. So the way to do that is you don't want to link them all together. You want to link the ones that are relative together, and you want to really make sure that they're warranted for the search engines. Going back to the basics, they were handwritten, they're being monetized, and then Google lets you build out your 500 or 1,000 companies like Warren Buffett. It's just you cannot do it with automated RSS and just that information getting picked up. And I wanted to really just throw that out there, because some people, I've gotten comments on my own blogs that are confused, that they don't understand the whole search engine synopsis, and I wanted to really dive into that a little bit there, Scott.
Cool, that's great. So one of the other things that people talk about is PageRank, and how if you have a PageRank 4 site, you should be better off than a PageRank 3 site. And I just wanted you to maybe comment. I know there's a lot of myths and misunderstandings about it, and there's even a thing called TrustRank now. So I just thought maybe we should talk about that for a few minutes.
Oh yeah, definitely. Yeah. PageRank is the 0 to 10 meter. I advise everyone to download it and how you do it. And I think it's pretty important to probably go over a little just to download it. Because I've been asked by a lot of experts that I was shocked myself when I didn't know about it. And then now I'm shocked that a lot of other people don't. But, it's something cool. What it is, it's like a mechanic being able to look at a meter and seeing exactly what's, how your car's running just in general by a 0 through 10 meter notch. So this is really cool. And then the TrustRank, that's cool too, but the PageRank is the overall algorithm of how they value your site. Now here's the thing. Now I'll kind of go into multiple examples, because I've had a lot of clients over the years. I've had clients that had websites successfully running good, great retail businesses from 96, 97, and they have a PageRank 4. I got a PageRank 4 on SEOChampion.com, which was only a test a year ago to see how good I can do on it. And so in a year, I did exactly what somebody did in 13 years. So PageRank really comes down in the future to reputability. I personally believe, and then I'll get into how it works, is the reason why PageRank exists, and then I'll, you know, go into, okay, quickly, just to get the PageRank Google toolbar, type in any search engine, download Google toolbar, and then when you start downloading the Google toolbar in the application, there is a checkbox on, I believe, the second or third screen, and you want to allow Google to see where you're looking or your stats. I forgot what it's called, but that's the one that's going to allow you to put up that bar. The bar is going to go in the middle of your top browser, and it's going to be a 0 through 10. And what it's used for in the future is it's going to be used for people to know reputability. So let's say if we go to a local store and, you know, we want to buy some furniture and spend a good amount of money, there's no way of telling how long they've been in business, have they shafted anybody, are they going to deliver the products. But this PageRank, you know, when we go to ESPN.com and we see a PageRank 8, we're like, wow, you know, this is ESPN.com's site. So that's a big thing, you know, is the PageRank, because in the future it's going to come down to reputability. Like Scott was saying, are you two or are you three? And here's the difference, is it's going to take you, now if you start blogging, if you start making posts or adding pages to your website every single day, 6 days a week, for, you know, 6 months, 8 months, you're going to get yourself, because keep in mind, PageRank updates, oh, I want to put that out there, PageRank updates happen 4 times a year, that's reported by Google. We have a PageRank update coming at the end of the month, which will be very interesting. I'm excited. It's like a birthday almost. But you know, because the last one came on New Year's and I Twittered it out, and Matt, and somebody got my Twitter and they said, Matt Cutts, please confirm you just did a PageRank worldwide, and they did. So that's what they do. They either move you up or you get docked. And depending on that PageRank, you either go up in the search engines or you lose the keywords you had. And to me, it's a good method. So just keep track of that PageRank meter. And the biggest thing that helps that PageRank is your domain age and, you know, renewing your domain. And just consistently blogging, like that's your job. You know, like you're going to work every day. That's how Google and the search engines look at the PageRank, is based on consistency. And I mean, because I have sites that I haven't touched in 6-7 years that are PageRank 2, and my SEO champion that I just put live a year ago as a test is a 4 with an Alexa. That's huge. It's a huge rival. So, but I've been blogging on that thing for, you know, sometimes 2-3 times a day on the weekends. I might even blog 10 posts in one day, you know, but try to keep it consistent. Try to keep your posts around the same times. That'll be the best. Because, see, you know, with the newspaper, you think about the Washington Post, when they post, they have deadlines, and those deadlines are the same times every day. And I know Scott's talked about this before, that posting every single day, and we've talked about that posting every day like a newspaper is the best. So if you can keep a set schedule, I believe, I don't know, but I'm pretty sure that might even gain an even higher value in the search engines, and you could be setting some record levels. We have one site that I have the testimonials posted in PDF of those 2,000 words, and that specific client of humangeneticsdisorders.com has been posting at around the same time every night or every morning.
What you're really saying there, Mike, is, and I want to talk a bit more about blogging in particular in case some people aren't really familiar with it, but what you're saying, because here's the thing that I always heard was and it was because, again, of robots or scripts and everything else that would post, make a post at 9:02 and 33 seconds every day, right? And the search engine would pick up that and say, well, this is obviously not a human being. But what you're saying is if you're consistent in your posting, if you're going to be posting and you post 5 days a week around 9 o'clock, the search engines notice that and say, wow, this is somebody who's really, and when you think about it, that's a professional blogger, right?
Yes, exactly. And you know how they know that? You just got me to remember how they know that. Check this out. How they know that you're actually humanly going in is because you have to enter your admin. A robot is gonna fly right through your admin within a second post. That's not human nature. There's nobody in this world can do it fast. So there has to be that time. That's why I was thinking about this. There has to be that time interval of where you pull up your login admin page to get into your blog, to make a post, you know, you type in, let's say your username's already populated, you click login, you'll be in 3 seconds. So now they know that what you're doing is human nature. And then, so they give you more credit. So they give you credit based on you logging in and working on your sites. Cause it's kind of like, it's the same thing as the Wild Wild West. They were giving people credit for, you know, the first businesses in the United States, Canada, and all over the place that were there were staked. They came in, they staked their place, and they went every single day and put a couple bricks on and built their building. And that's what Google wants, because if those bricks come in mass loads and, you know, and they know that there's just robots tossing them in there, or they're just magically cloudingly fitting in there, they're gonna know that, and they're not gonna give you an advantage. You know, you'll go through your, a couple years to 3, 4, 5 years, and you'll still be a page rank 2, and you're not gonna be thrilled, and that's the reason why. You know, but I would say definitely if you're gonna have some auto RSS, I would probably keep it at about 30-40%, and just really keep it to high page rank, very reputable news sources to what your industry is.
Right, right. Okay, that's interesting and really, really good information. And so one of the things that I got out of that was Google can kind of track how long, like what you're doing. So they obviously, if they can tell that, okay, I go to my blog, now I log in, now I look at my stats, now I make my post, you know, 15, 20 minutes later I log out, different than the robot just automatically in, post, out, and done, right?
Yes, exactly. Yep.
Okay, cool. So let's just talk about blogging since you've talked about this. And you and I have talked about this on many, many occasions. And it's really important, I think, that you have the right mindset. When you're looking at being online and doing your business and everything else and getting this traffic, right, how you sell and everything else, the sales copy, that's a little bit different. What we're really talking about here is getting the people to your site, developing a relationship with those people so that they trust you, and then they will buy affiliate products, they will click on links for like AdSense and that sort of stuff, or actually buy your product, or they will call you and say, look, you're an expert in this field, I need some consulting, I need some coaching, I need whatever it happens to be. So when you're doing that, you really want to put on your newspaper journalist hat. You really want to look at your blog as a newspaper. And when we've talked about this on our AskScottPatton.com podcast in the past, Mike, it just blew my mind because I never really thought of my blogs as competing with the New York Times or the Washington Post or US Today or any of those things. But as you were saying, if you take an area of, let's say, your topic is dog training, puppy training, right? You got a little puppy and you're training it and you think this is really cool. I've learned a lot about this and some tricks about it. I'm gonna, you know, I want to blog about that, right? Well, if you're blogging every day on, you know, training your puppy and your experiences with your puppy, there may be one article in the newspaper on, you know, training dogs or something like that, or how to look after your dog and everything else. So over time, those 5 posts to that one, you are actually going to become a more of an authority in the eyes of the search engines for your topic, in this case, you know, training puppies, than the newspaper. Even though the newspaper has this massive site with all of this information, it's definitely considered, you know, an authority site in the eyes of the search engines.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, going off that note, but the blog can be a higher authoritative note within the section. Going off what you mentioned, where you're never going to beat out the big New York Times and the Washington Post, but you can definitely beat out their sections. And the people that have done it actually are the Yellow Pages, like yellowpages.com, yellowbook.com, and then, you know, magicyellow.com too as well. Those yellow pages companies, you know, they've been around for years, and their goal was to take over the local search for, you know, even puppy training and just related news information. So going off that, those guys have already been there. They felt successful, and the New York Times is too. And going off of what Scott mentioned, I would add one thing, which I didn't mention before, but I looked at it and I kept looking at it. I'm not a fan of giving out links, let's just say, and you should not. You should give out links like money, you know, if sparingly,
right,
you know, somebody, you know, but or as a gift, actually, as a gift that's going to help you out too. Like, I'm doing a deal with, you know, with a company, and I'm going to have one of their websites on my server, and this is a huge company that I'm doing a deal with soon, and you know, we're going to trade in links, you know, based on the partnership. And to me, that felt fine. That was one of the first big deals. And, you know, they're going to get a 4 from me. I'm going to get a 6 from them, and they're not giving out any links. And that's what I wanted to mention is if the bloggers out there can, you know, blog, and they, let's say they post like 3 to 6, let's say going off the puppy dog site, just to touch on that. The best thing to do is also find resources. I never used to do this, but I'm a fan of doing it now, is finding, you know, other reputable sources. Like me personally, I'll quote or I'll put in their webpronews.com and I'll give a source and I'll link to it. Because here's the thing a lot of people that are worried about, and I'll just kind of remove the myth right now, and it came from Matt Cutts because I asked him. I said to him, I said, how many, I said, if I'm giving webpronews.com or let's say, you know, a blog company, well, I'll just say directly what I asked him. You know, if I'm giving a certain site, you know, 500 inlinks, yeah, I mean, is that a lot of inlinks coming off of me? And what it is their search engines will only recognize 1 or 2 inlinks per website, no matter how many were coming in. So that's really good. So the good thing is do find like the puppy dog type site. You know, you can make a, excuse me, I just was having calls coming in. That's the loss of caller ID there, but shows this is not pre-recorded. But yeah, just definitely, you know, link to even .orgs.coms that have been around for a while too, and then do source them. And you can even source the Washington Post, because there's no laws right now. So if you can put at the bottom of your page, check this out. If you write a nice puppy dog article and you can say, yeah, and I found some really cool tips that the Washington Post put out, go check this out at the Washington Post page. Now you just wrote Washington Post twice, and then you can tag your post. I would maybe do it 2 tags, just do Washington Post and then one other tag, because when you're hitting big words, see, that's the benefit of today's market with Google and Matt Cutts' strive this year, is to make a pioneer. No laws, because obviously Google's reselling everybody's trademark and they haven't been sued yet. So,
right.
You know. So you can actually take over when somebody types in the Washington Post, you can come up, you know, probably say number 7 or 8, because the other people are going to be in line. Of course, the Washington Post will be number 1 and 2. Then you have maybe CBS and, you know, because for the heck of it, I was number 2 on college basketball scores, because college basketball is real big right now in the U.S. and around the world. And I was beat out by CBS and MSNBC, but it's so funny because I'm laughing and it sucks because I don't have their power. But before March Madness started, I already preset in my mind to take over the keywords, and I did. And they just come write one small little article, don't even keyword it right, and then it comes in. But here's the thing to combat that, though, for everybody out there. If you notice that you did have a keyword and it's gone, it's on the second page, it's like on page number 12,
right.
Make a couple more posts, but do not submit the new post you did. Resubmit the old post and just resubmit it under a certain targeted 1 or 2 keywords. Don't rechange the keywords, but when you go through and use the SEO software, which a good software to look at using is webceo.com. I'll just put it out there.
Okay.
And, you know, and just go ahead and resubmit your old page, or a page that is really desired that's targeted, because here's the thing. Major companies and streamlined companies in the United States and around the world, if they're lucky to submit it once, they're not going to do it again. I guarantee it. You know?
Yeah. So when you talk about submitting, where would you submit it?
What you do is on WebCEO, it's like a Web Position Gold used to be a great software. They don't work with Google, but all it is you put in your URL, and it takes quite a bit to figure out the system. But you know, again, of course, you can use that Google ad URL. That's kind of maybe going to phase out the MSN ad URL. If you type in MSN ad URL, you'll find like live.msn or whatever, and you can submit it directly through the ad URL. So google.com/ad URL. That's a good one. So let's say if I wanted to go, I mean, I did, you know, I wanted college basketball scores, and, you know, and that's what people do to try to take over keywords, is they submit that. Now, that's another thing is you can, let's say if you set up a Merchant Circle account or Verizon Superpages, if you have a retail store, set up more of those too, and I know we were going to talk about that, but I wanted to throw it in because you can submit those too. There's no rules or regulations stating that you cannot submit other people's content, and if there is, then everybody's liable, because as far as the ones that have been successful online. Because I have people that are submitting my content trying to throw me on other keywords. And, I mean, it sucks because that's what – just don't expose – put it this way, you know, because, I mean, I'm a threatening force in the SEO industry because I control a lot of space and I can do a lot of damage because I have people that work for me and I know what I'm doing. I'm very well organized and I'm not lazy. But the thing is don't expose yourself to your competitors like I did.
Right. So there's some big tips right in there that I just want to emphasize, right? Build a team, work hard, learn a lot, you know, keep constant learning. Those are the keys if you want to make it in any business. And I was just so happy you mentioned them just now.
Nice. Yep. And find those. I think find, you know, and they were always saying, like Matt Katz always said, find your one or two or three great blogs. Like CNET.com is a great source for technology and electronics. And, you know, and you can even pull their RSS and just, you know, read their news and write your comments. I'm 31 years old, so I don't know everything about life yet, of course. But I'm thinking, where do these news anchors get all these, their news information all these years? Well, they get it from other sources.
That's right. And they just take it and they give their own spin on it because everybody has their own opinion. And, you know, don't be afraid to take a chance and be a little controversial. We've talked about that before. We're not talking about, you know, slamming people or being Jerry Springer conversational. But, you know, you can say, hey, you know, so-and-so said this, and, you know, I can understand where he's coming from, but, you know, in my experience, he's missed the boat a bit in these areas, and this is what, and then you go on and do your own take on it, right? And,
exactly.
I mean, there's always two sides, and you can all, you know, nobody is absolutely correct 100% of the time. And, you know, so yeah, find really good sources, and, the New York Times, for example, is a really, really good source. Of articles and see what they say. And you know that if the New York Times is talking about, you know, training puppies, that there are millions of people that are interested in knowing how to train their puppy.
Exactly.
Because they're not going to go and put up something about tiddly, you know, you don't see in the sports page tiddlywink tournament. Right?
Yeah, you don't see the junior golf team tournament of the 10-year-olds, you know?
No, that's right.
Golf.
And there's a reason for that. So don't write about that stuff. Write about the stuff that's, you know, in the papers all the time. And you're going to be laughing.
Exactly. And the best way I would, if you're thinking of what to write about, I would personally go in and here's the best way to look at seeing the competition. Type in the keywords of whatever you're thinking of starting your blog or writing about and see how many people are advertising. If you only see one or two, that's great. If you see a mass amount of advertisers and then, you know, on the right, which everybody knows the sponsor links or pay-per-click, and then here's the second cue, is if you see a lot of advertisers, then you know there's a lot of competition. So the second cue is look at the organic search. If you see a lot of major companies in there, like, you know, one-word domains that you recognize, you know, I would personally these days the best advantage is start with a niche that no one's writing about. You know, like, I mean, look at stem cell research, you know. My client, humangeneticsdisorders.com, is now shifting and writing about stem cell research, and they're actually, I got them on the keywords within 3-4 days. You know, and they took the, oh yeah, it's nuts. Yeah, for giggles, I mean, you know, I mentioned it before, but I would just like to say, go to my website and look at this PDF. It's something that is unreal. And I had my lead coder put it up last night. It's under SEOchampion.com and look under testimonials and just click on that PDF and that shows you all those SEO keywords of what the keywords look like. It shows how long the person was on the site when they went through that keyword, and it shows how many pages they looked at while going through on that keyword too as well. And a lot of that's important, and that's how kind of success is measured. But I would start in a real niche industry. So, but I mean, puppy dogs is a great niche industry. There is people selling dog houses that just want to sell them, and they're not really concerned about, you know, putting out that good information, like Scott said, to help people that, you know, have new puppies. But if you do that, I mean, you will gain control of that industry within 2 to 4 years. You know,
that's right.
A brand new website.
That's right. And we all have stories, right? People love stories. And since we're talking about puppies, I'm going to take a second and tell you my story. About 10 years ago, a friend of mine and his wife bought a Dalmatian, a puppy, right? And this Dalmatian ruled the roost. There was no, you know, and I'm coming, and I've got two kids, right? And that time, they were, you know, 5, 6, 7, in around that age. And I was used to disciplining babies, right? And this puppy was doing something, and I didn't even think. I reached over, and, you know, if you're listening to this, and this is all wrong, I'm sorry, right? But I just pumped it on its nose, her nose, really, right? And it was just like, she was shocked, right? She just got this little thing on her nose. And she went, we were at the dinner table, right? And she went and she sat under my chair, right? And I felt so bad, right? And, of course, my friends were looking at me. They didn't know what to do. And, of course, they would never think of disciplining her at all, right? And so I got off the chair, I sat down, I patted Sadie, and I said, look, you know, Sadie, I'm sorry I hit you in the nose, but, you know, really don't like that behavior, right? Well, for the rest of her life, alpha male was me, she was number two, and my friends were number three and four, and they mentioned it to me. They told me that, right? I mean, I was thinking it, but they said, you know, Scott, you're the alpha male here, and Sadie's number two, and we're number three and four. And it was just so funny. So, you know, we all have experiences, and, you know, whether it's with the puppies or whatever the topic is that we can talk on that can be funny, that can be humorous, that can be entertaining, that will bring people back again and again and again. And I think that that is the real key to building a following. It's one thing to get the traffic, but if you don't, collect the email address, if you don't develop the relationship with them and all those sort of things, then it can be a real, real problem. And we've gotten a bit off of the topic of blogging, and I wanted to ask you a couple other questions before we move on to some of the other topics that we want to make sure we cover in this hour.
Okay.
And that is, there is Blogger Blogs, which of course is owned by Google. There's WordPress. Those seem to be the two. Would you recommend just, you know, going with all Blogger Blogs or all WordPress blogs or a combination thereof? Or, what's your opinion on, if I'm just starting out and I'm going to put up a blog, like, what should I do?
Here's what I'd recommend. I would just recommend what was told to me by Matt Cutts, back at, what do we got here, Blog World 2007. You know, I just quoted for just quoting it because it actually, of course, happened. I would build it out strictly in WordPress blog just for your website. Now, here's the thing with Blogger. Be a part of Blogger and then build out your subcategory. Blogger is almost like another Facebook. It's just another social site. But let's say if you want to have two or three domains, you know, that are writing about, let's say, puppy dogs, build the one out in WordPress and build one out in Blogger, because you know what? Even though that information was told to me back in 07 and I've ran the math formulas and I've looked at the algorithms and everything still match up for WordPress to be used more than Blogger, things could change. So I'm always a big fan of split test, which is huge, but to this day I would recommend that everyone should build out their blog in WordPress and use the latest WordPress edition, and don't be shy. I've had to go through about 5 updates myself and, you know, looking for new things here and there. Okay, where do they put this? You know, but it's a cool, easy admin, and then those plugins are fun, because that's the one thing that Blogger doesn't have a lot of is plugins, and Google's not in the business of really supplying plugins. They're in the business of using your plugins that you use and managing them and making sure that you're not spamming the plugins and you're not using bots and all that stuff. I'd recommend that. And then also, I wanted, when you mentioned this earlier, you mentioned engaging the user and getting their emails. I totally forgot, you want to create a newsletter box. That's the first thing you want to do too on your website. Put a little box at the top that says to receive some extra tips or, you know, just like we all watch on TV, actually. You know, I didn't think about it till now. Why don't you extra footage, you know, that's not going to be released online. That's not something nobody's really done.
Yeah, there's a really good idea. Yeah.
Yeah, that's a pretty good idea. So, you know, and then, you know, you can give that out once a week and then just start building your list. And don't feel bad if you have one or two readers, because that's one or two you had before. Like, I look at my Twitter, and I'm not too big on Twitter anymore because a lot of people love just looking at me and stealing my ideas. And if I don't tell them what they want, they jump ship like two did yesterday. It's so funny. And I know who they are, too, because I have a nice little tool that tells me within a second who left. And I don't know how they exit themselves off Twitter. And other people don't know how I delete Twitter messages. But if you ever write something on Twitter, you can delete the message, for the record. Because other, you know, reporters like, you know, Snyder Sense and Search Engine Journal said you can't delete tweets. Well, you can. But the thing is, not to jump so far off the subject, is definitely just, you know, go into just, you know, utilize WordPress and make sure, oh, get the video pack. Get your all-in-one SEO pack. That's a plugin. And so the video pack, make sure it's a kind of a good, reliable one that's not always down, you know, or just, let's mention this. I personally would just use a YouTube camera. I've used the YouTube camera. It takes probably per video, you know, forget doing the video, but just uploading it takes probably 10, 15 minutes, and I've got a pretty fast computer. So, you know, uploading it to YouTube, then pulling the script, then posting that code on your blog to show the video takes a lot more time. Right now, like, I can just press a button on my – I did a video on the slowing of pay-per-click marketing on my SEO blog the other day. And, you know, all I do is just actually press a button and just look in the camera like Shoe Money does, you know, off my Apple webcam. And I have it – I have it's called Kaltura, something like that, Kaltura. And you can see – you can see by my videos, but add a video, add podcast plugin, add an RSS plugin, add the translator from Google, and then add the all-in-one SEO pack. Now, here's what a lot of people fail to do, and it's called it's laziness. It's just pure laziness, and the people that don't know haven't been trained properly, but you want to fill in every category. Those, an excerpt, E-X-C-E-R-P-T, I believe, that's called description. That's the same thing as the description in the title, description, and keywords. So when you see that in WordPress, see, a lot of people are, they're gun shy with filling out a lot of information because they don't want to ruin the blog. But you got to know what you have to fill out, and your main things you got to fill out is your keywords. Make sure you use commas in between the keywords, and you fill out that title, description, and which is the excerpt, and then any additional information. If you add pictures, you know, you want to add the caption. You want to take that time to fill out every single thing. If a window pops up and they want you, you know, to fill it out, you know, just don't put something in there or a little quick word like these companies have done for years, because that's going to be an edge you're going to have over the competition.
Right, right. So what you're really saying is every opportunity to put extra words in, and we're not talking about, like, you know, the alt tag for a picture was originally put up so that someone who was had a website reader who was blind, for example, or if they had their images off, it would tell what the image was. And what a lot of people did was they put, like, their keyword, puppy training, and then they just copied and pasted it like 50 times into the alt tag. And, you know, okay, that worked like 14 years ago. It doesn't work now, and it's really stupid, and it makes you look unprofessional, so don't do it. But it's really important that in those alt tags and everywhere that you can, you put a little description of what it is, make sure that there's a little keyword in there, but it is readable for a human being. That is so, so important. And the other thing that you said that I thought was really, really important was, and people may not really understand this, if you're blogging, and really, like, I'm just telling people, don't bother with a website. Just put up a blog. A blog is a website. The difference between a blog and a website is a blog is really easy for you to change the way it looks, and it's really easy for you to add content and update, whereas a website isn't. But, you know, basically, you got to get Dreamweaver or Frontpage or Contribute or something like that. Then you got to learn how to use it and everything else. So if you can do an email, you can fill out an email form online or even in Outlook, then you have all the technical skills required to, and you can put an attachment, then you have all the technical skills required to run a blog. So just do that. It's easy. It's quick. Most hosting companies have a one-click install blog thing on it. You upload a couple themes and you're away to the races. But what you said that I thought was really important was putting that video plugin in, putting the podcasting plugin in. And the reason for that is, again, Google knows how long you are and how long your clients, prospects, audience are on your site. And oftentimes when people go to a site, they will only be there for, like, it takes them a second to decide, literally 3 seconds for a woman and 5 seconds for a guy. Us guys are slow, right, to decide if they want to stay on your site or not. But we are so programmed by TV to watch that if you've got a video first thing on your site, we look at it, right? We go, oh, what's this? We may look at it for 5 seconds, 10 seconds, 20 seconds, whatever, but it's longer than that three, the women, it's longer than that 3 seconds, right? So you do a search, and Google comes up with something, and you're one of them. The person clicks on it. They go to your blog. There's this video starting up right away, or there's this video there. They push, well, what is this, right? You know, watch my video, right? Commands, right? Watch my video. They click because then they start it up. They watch, 30 seconds of it or whatever and say, ah, it's not what I want. They go back. That 30 seconds has given you a big thumbs up in Google's eyes, right? Because if they'd have gone back and in 2 seconds, they'd have gone to your site and in 2 seconds gone back to Google, Google would have said, thumbs down, this isn't a very good site, because obviously the person hasn't stayed there very long, right? So the idea of, doing those, and particularly today, right, get a camcorder. Every new laptop has a little camera in it. And just do a quick video. Hey guys, how you doing? This is all about puppy training, just to keep on the same theme of today's chat. And I'm going to be showing you this and this and this and this. And you pull up your dog. Here's my puppy. Isn't he cute? Say hi, Sadie. Ruff, ruff. You know, people love that stuff, right?
Yeah, exactly.
And how long did it take you to do it? It took you maybe take you 15, 20 minutes to figure out how to record, right? But basically, it takes you 30 seconds to do it. And then you've got people staying there for a while. And of course, once you've done that, you've created a bit of a relationship. They know who you are. You're not hiding behind your computer screen. And they'll what else is on this site? Oh, this looks cool. That looks cool. And you've hooked them in. You've got them. And that is just so important, in my opinion.
Yeah, definitely. And that's user generated video. And you just made me think of the other side that I do want to mention, which is good. And I've been doing it too. And humangeneticsdisorders.com is a prime example of a video blog. And I forgot to mention that until hearing about, the video with your stats, I was quite shocked about the 3 seconds for, what was it, a woman and 5 for a guy.
Yeah.
The attention span.
Yeah.
If you look at those testimonial PDF stats from Google Analytics for humangeneticsdisorders.com, they are all video, actually. Every post, they're covering every disorder, every genetic disorder. So this is kind of cool, not to jump off the puppy, but I got some real life demographics that are going to blow some people's minds, I just thought of. And what it is some of these videos that this particular client that I've been working with she posts videos that are, 15 minutes, 20 minutes. You will see the average user length on certain keywords of 18 minutes, 20 minutes, 25 minutes. See, now we're getting into the realm of how successful Facebook is. So when I know we were talking about the basics, but in back of everybody's mind, it's like, okay, when am I going to hit that threshold? There is a threshold in search engines. I call it a free slot machine, actually. I've always said having a website and posting is a free slot machine. You can eventually make money. But the thing is, that threshold is the time on the website and your bounce rate. The bounce rate is when somebody comes on, like Scott mentioned, a lady comes on 3 seconds, she doesn't like what she sees, she leaves. She's going to be contributed to a bounce rate. I don't know if she has to stay on 5, 7 seconds, 9 seconds, 10 or 11. I definitely know probably 3 and under is definitely going to trigger that bounce rate. Where you're going to see, but look at those stats and see, and look at that website, humangeneticsdisorders.com. I'm not just throwing it out there for plug at all. This site, was blogging for nine months and now has about 9,000 uniques. And it's just taking it's just crazy. And the thing is if you think about this is the medical industry. This is one of the biggest industries that we have in the world.
Yeah.
And ask yourself this one question, and that's just what I'm going back to. The biggest thing is, like they say, when you go to college, and I went to college. I'm not a huge fan of it, because I personally think I could have got a lot more done you know, before, but picking your degree before you go to college is the best way, and everybody's always said that, right, Scott?
That's right.
So picking your website and what you're going to talk about, puppies, you know, or if you're going to talk about, you know, if you're going to just talk about exotic birds, paradise birds, whatever you want to talk about, make sure you do that. But it goes back to that industry. Think about this, is think about, like, puppies. Is there a lot of websites out there that are talking, like, go and look at puppy directories and see how many people are posting per day. And if you see a lot of directories and a lot of review sites that are posting, like, you know, they got big forums and this and that, and they have your words that you want, you might want to think about another industry. But you know what's interesting about the medical industry? What hospitals do we know that have an SEO team? I mean, I'm sure they do nowadays.
No, I'm sure they don't. Yeah.
You know, I told
what doctor does. No doctor does, right?
Exactly.
None of those people pay any attention. They don't need to. They've got too many people running around selling. They don't see any need whatsoever to have any of this information on the internet.
Exactly. And like gas stations, like I have naturalgasoline.com. That's a blog I oversee. It's a cool, that's like one of my new video blogs. And that's kind of a perfect example, too, of a Google Translator, a real simple one. Humangeneticsdisorders.com is an elaborate one. It's covering over 200 disorders. But natural gasoline is a nice one that I did that is kind of a basic model, let's say. And, you know, I'll just throw this out there. And, you know, if I get overwhelming demand, Scott, you know, I'll definitely thank you. But I feel that, I mean, I've always been one. I offered a blog world to do blogs. And if it's okay with you, Scott, I always been one to want to help new people. I do kind of have a waiting list of 2 weeks, but to initially set up a WordPress blog takes a coder between 4 to 8 hours. If there's somebody that does not know how to set up a WordPress blog or just wants it set up in WordPress, because these real quick blogs that you mentioned, which are great and they will do the trick, but they're not going to be as good as having a WordPress blog, because to me WordPress is like being closer to the ocean, so you can feel that breeze instead of being in the desert like I am in Vegas right now.
Right.
But if someone needs it, I mean, I'll be very reasonable on my prices, you know. And I've always been one to charge half. So if you need help, just let me know, you know, fill out a form on SEO Champion. I just wanted to throw that in there because a lot of people are afraid to do it because they know it's going to take them 2 weeks to learn how to set up a blog, and then that deters a lot of attention. And don't do that. You know, what I would do is while you're waiting for your blog to be set up, or while you're using your knowledge to set up a blog and using all the basic information that me and Scott have given you, start writing about your post. That's what I would do, and that's going to help you guide your developer in developing your blog and your mind in developing what you want to do in the future. That's what I was thinking too.
Right. So just to kind of finish off on the blogging part of our discussion, how often would you, and I know we talked about, you know, being like going against the newspapers sort of thing, but how often would you recommend the average person should blog in a week? Posts in a week.
I'm gonna step it up now. I know we said before. I would just say, you know, well, okay. Here, let's put it this way. If you're looking to really smash the game and you're looking to really do some damage and you're really dedicated and you know what you're talking about, I'd blog between 5 to 10 times every day, 6 days a week. Give yourself maybe a day of rest. You know, but if you don't, if you're retired and you don't have a job, or you don't have a job right now, I would blog 7 days a week, because what's going to happen is this has never been really done before. See, I've been paying attention to the Washington Post, as I keep mentioning, and the New York Times, and they have their own sections. And I'll talk about prime examples. It's pretty funny, but they have their own sections that they only talk about, like Scott said, you know, with puppies, maybe once every 2 weeks. But on certain other legal topics or housing, they probably talk about housing every day, but, you know, let's just say something else. You know, they only talk about it maybe 4 or 5 times a week, and they're going to put out 1 or 2 article tops per day. So you want to beat that. You want to beat 2 articles per day, 4 to 5 days a week. And in my opinion, the minimum I would recommend, if you're really dedicated and you want to do some damage and you want to no holds bar, you don't want to be lazy about it and regret it in 2 years, because I've had a lot of clients that I've had 2 years ago that have gotten frustrated, have not followed directions of what I've mentioned here, and then they've called me back and said, okay, Mike, I've been making my own posts. I'm ready to have your help now. Because, see, that's the thing. If you hire an SEO person or you try to do SEO, you're not going to help the SEO person if you're not blogging. That's just the bottom line. You can't have a stagnant website like, you know, like go.com these days or local.com that are just thriving. You know, they've acquired millions of users and mass amounts of times over years. You're starting from scratch.
Right.
So, you know, again, so I would say, like, for people that are really serious and really want to do this, think of everything under the sun. Here's the thing. Oh, and don't be afraid that I'm thinking, oh man, I'm gonna have to. What am I gonna write about if I have to write 10 topics? Because guess what, you can write 4 topics yourself. Go grab 4. Put 4 opinions of maybe 1 or 2 sentences from other articles, link to those articles, and then go to YouTube and then go grab a couple videos related, which takes 3-4 minutes, and post those videos. So there's your 10 pages per day. But the minimum I would suggest, if for somebody that it's a hobby, that doesn't mind getting their keywords in a year and a half, 2 years, you know, blog twice a day, 4 or 5 days a week. If you want your keywords, you know, in 6 months to a year, I would blog 4 to 6 times a day, 4 to 5 days a week. If you want a lot of keywords, like, I mean, look at that humangeneticsdisorders.com. She blogs, I think about 3 times. She's been blogging about 3-4 times a day. Now that's one more than all the medical, because we're in the medical industry, and I've seen it where the next day keywords pop up. That's what happens when you start blogging every day. They don't know your hours of operation, Google, but the algorithm can figure it out by what we talked about. You logging in, you adding new plugins, you working within your own terminal, because it's like you having a warehouse on land and you're stocking your supplies and you're actually sweating. You know, there was a thing in there, you know, if you don't shed some sweat a day, you know, maybe you should earn some money. So, you know, keep that in mind. And just, you know, and just really work at it, you know, constantly look at improving it.
Right. So, Mike, when you're talking about making these posts, what goes through my mind is I'm going to be, you know, writing 10,000 words 3, 4, 5 times a day. So how long would you recommend the posts be?
Oh, okay. Yeah, I'd recommend the post to be between about 8 to 12 sentences.
Okay. So we're not talking about this huge, onerous, long essay. I hated essays in school, right?
And me too.
So find something you're interested in and then just write about it, you know, 5, 6, 7, 8 sentences, 10 sentences, and then go do some other things, come back and write a little bit more and just turn it into part of your daily marketing, and you're going to see a huge difference in your traffic.
Yeah, exactly. And just for starters, like if you're just starting off, use the Google ad URL. Sign up with Google. See, here's the thing. In the future, Google's going to want to know who owns websites, and they're not going to just let anybody go to google.com/ADDURL, which is ad URL, and you fill in your top URL. They're going to want to know in the future. So if you have set up a Gmail account. If you don't have it already, keep signed in while you're in there, because what they haven't said yet, and what I've personally done on my little laboratory I have, I've figured out from where they're moving and what they're doing is they're going to identify and they're going to have a code in the future that's going to be put on your website, like analytics, that's going to verify ownership so you cannot submit other websites. So until then, get a Gmail account, keep signed in, open another tab, and then go to Google ad URL. And then here's what you want to do, and this comes into the human interaction too. After you're done with your post, so let's say it took you about 5 minutes, 8 minutes to create your post with your keywords and everything. That's after you're done writing. You want to go ahead and submit that, you know, through the Google ad URL, and then boom, you're in. And then you go back to your website, and then you create another post. So now Google knows that you went in, you made a post, and then you send them the information. Now you're going back in, you make another post, you're sending them the information. If you do that, that's huge. That's something where you really don't need the SEO software the first few months. If you want to get super, okay, here's the thing. The SEO software is for nationwide and worldwide, really. If you're really local and you're just worried about your, you know, the local industry, for the first couple months, your best bet is to, you know, not to flood the market, I would say, but, you know, get used to Google and let Google get used to you, and Yahoo used to have an ad URL. I don't know what happened to it. They like to just disappear things. It's pretty funny. But
yeah.
MSN does have one. Just type, I don't know the link. It's a weird link. But go into Google and in their search bar, type in MSN space ADD space URL. You'll find it. Those are the two you can do every day. And what that's going to do is that's going to show that you're the press. You just made your newswire, and then you just sent it out for release through Google and MSN.
Nice. Wonderful. Well, Mike, thank you very much for joining us. We're just a little bit over the hour that I asked you to spend with us, and I really appreciate you taking time out of your busy day to share this really, really interesting information. And, of course, in an hour, we're just scratching the surface. I wanted to talk about some of the things that people, when they're just starting out, should be aware of, like the meta tags and the page rank and some things about inbound links, and, of course, the importance of blogging and podcasting and video and how to set those up. And I thought what you talked about, the translation, because it is the World Wide Web, and that just, to me, just is amazing, amazing technology. But basically what I'm telling you all is that this is just the beginning of your SEO education. And Mike's site, SEOchampion.com/blog, well, it's SEOchampion.com, but when you go /blog, you're into his blog, and he's got lots of good information there that can certainly help you as well. And then, of course, if you can certainly get a hold of Mike and ask him SEO questions, I'm sure he'd be happy to answer them. And if he isn't, then he'll bring them to the podcast that we do at www.askscottpatton.com on a weekly basis, and we'll answer them there.
Sounds good. Well, thank you for inviting me too. As well, I wanted to say thank you too for inviting me on as well again.
Awesome. So we'll talk to y'all soon, everybody. Bye for now.
See you guys later.